Demeaning the body. In this teaching, the Holy Ghost wants to reveal to us some of our, perhaps many long-held beliefs, lies, in fact, that have kept half the body in a place of oppression, slavery, and demeaned. He wants to uncover the source of it so that women are no longer made to feel inferior to their brothers, to their husbands, or to themselves. We're going to go right to the beginning because that's where the trouble started. In Genesis 3, 15 and 16. This is after Adam and Eve had committed the sin, the transgression of disobedience. And this was God's response to her. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, a response to Satan, in fact, between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. That was a curse. Being ruled over was a curse. Being dominated was a curse. Being oppressed was a curse. Not something that we are to now admire or exalt or remain in. And this is not feminism. What happens is women are so frightened to speak out and say the way the church is operating in the Western world. It's interesting, in other nations, women are more revered than they are in the Western world, particularly in the white Western middle class culture. You can be in Africa, preach in the front of a church, be invited by reverends, by ministers, by those in leadership. They do not feel demeaned because you are a woman preaching. But in our society, in the Western world, women are still considered inferior. And again, this is not feminism. We do not need feminism, sisters, in Christ. Because we have freedom in Christ, why would we want feminism? Feminism is just as foul and just as satanically driven as oppression. So that we want none of it, none of it. This is not a call to arms of women taking over men. That's nonsense. To prove we can be as good as them. No, I don't need to prove it, and neither does any other sister in Christ, because she is in Christ. He proved it on the cross. He took away all our sin. He was a curse, made an actual curse for us, that we would no longer be under the curse. And we have to realize when that those scriptures that are used, in particular 1 Timothy 2 chapter 11 and 12, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. This has been used for centuries to shut women up. Let's be honest about it. Why? Who wants to shut women up? Who has enmity with her seed? Who was disgraced because he was beguiled the woman? and she took of the fruit that was forbidden? The enemy of our souls is the answer. He still has it out for women. Now, we can come into these conflicts and make it gender issues, as they call it. It's a postmodern term, really. Or battle of the sexes, as they used to say. Or we can see it for what it is, a spiritual battle to demean the body. If women are completely truncated, hindered, unable to function fully in the body of Christ, that is half the body that's paralyzed. How do you walk with a paralyzed body? On one side, with great difficulty, if at all. And what has happened is women are still paying for the crime of Eve. Because when we read, again, when we read these scriptures, he tells us, also in Timothy, in the second chapter, to rightly divide the word. Study yourself, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we cannot rightly divide the word of truth, and that word division refers to handling the truth. We are talking about the truth here. This is not something we deal with without true, deep care. The truth on one level is so solid, nothing can touch it. On another level, it is so fragile, it can be cut apart, dissected, misused, lied about, mixed and minced, that no one knows what it is anymore. And the only way we are going to know what the truth is by the Spirit of truth. He is going to divide the truth rightly. The word of truth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. The things of God include the Word of God that we have in our hands. Many of us have many, many versions, many translations, many copies. We cannot understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. Let's go on to 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Word was given to us of God. We need to know it. If we don't know it, then we are not going to rightly divide it. And we all are responsible for that, men and women. We cannot use the word to oppress half the body and say that's righteousness. Now, the biggest concern is that a woman, it's not even teaching, it's that a woman will usurp authority of the man. Now, number one, he was talking to the married women in the church that were unlearned. And yet, we can look at another example in Acts, chapter 18, we'll start with 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. So he was very learned. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now this is Aquila and Priscilla that Paul also commends. in Romans 16, and we'll go there in a moment. But he was a learned man, and Priscilla is expounding. And in the Greek, that expounding is explaining. It's teaching him about the truth of the gospel. And that's in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there are a number of women that were in leadership. This is, again, not about usurping authority. When a woman, just as a man, usurps the authority of God and has her own agenda, or if a man usurps authority over God's will, either one, it's a disgrace to God. It dishonors him and it exalts humanity above him. Doesn't matter whether you're male or female. Now let's go to that Romans 16. We'll just go to 16:3. Now he's already commended Phoebe, which was a servant, or in the Greek again, it's diakonos, which is like a deacon, a minister of the church. And then he speaks about, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles." Now they were in leadership. It wasn't simply, if you can lay down your own neck for the gospel, how is it that you cannot speak righteously about the gospel? The Lord is still asking what he asked in Isaiah 6:8. Whom shall I send? And we have to decide whether we are male or female. If we will say, send me, Lord. Or if, because of disapproval, we will hide. We will not heed to his call. Because there are people all over the earth that are still in bondage and that are still ignorant of the truth of the freedom in Christ. But if we, as part of the body, women in particular, and we're going to be even more specific, in the Western church, have demeaned who women are and subjected her to a place of back seat, shut up, sit down, don't speak, and I have three scriptures to prove it. We are demeaning the entire body. When men demean their sisters in Christ, they are demeaning the entire body. And let's look at that, how the Lord speaks about that through Paul in Ephesians 5:28-29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And isn't that what Adam said about Eve? Flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones, which is a precursor of the bride and Christ. We are not to keep women in a place of subordination. Now, this is not talking about, this is what becomes a real problem. This is not talking about there isn't a spiritual order in a family. Unfortunately, that spiritual order is usually not upheld by the man. And then the woman gets blamed for usurping. Because what does it say? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now we are talking wives. We are talking in a context of a marriage. Not that a woman never teaches or preaches. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You cannot have authority righteously without love. If love is missing, authority becomes oppression. And that's in any relationship. God is not telling women that they are to be demeaned, debased, abused, ridiculed. He said in Galatians, let's go there to 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We no longer live, but Christ lives in us. He says, we no longer live. The woman isn't, you're a woman, and therefore you will pay for the crime of Eve. We are not even alive. We are in Christ, hid in Christ. Paul said, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And then in 28 of Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We are co-heirs in Christ, heirs of God. Male or female, it does not matter. In that inheritance, there is liberty. In that liberty, there is freedom to speak the truth of God's word. In that speaking the truth of God's word, we are responsible. We are to study and show ourselves approved to whom? To God. To God. To God. We are to please God, not man. And this is not an excuse for wayward women that want to run around and tell men what to do and say, see, there's no male nor female, so I can belittle you. No, it is righteousness that we are submitting to. If a woman is demeaning and disrespecting her husband, she is just as unrighteous as a man demeaning and debasing his wife. There is no male or female about it. God sees it as the same. It's sin. Women are not to use their freedom in Christ. And this is what Paul was getting at. Because at that time, women had basically no rights. They were treated more as possessions than anything. So for him to say a woman is to learn in silence, I mean, she wasn't even allowed to learn. This was radical for her to even be allowed to learn. They were considered not valuable enough to educate. So we need to look at the full counsel of God. If something in the Word of God appears to contradict some other part of the Word of God, we better look up comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Word of God itself, rightly dividing the Word by the Word through the Spirit, to understand the truth that sets us free, church. It's to set us free, not to put us or one portion of the body in bondage and make it completely disabled. Truly, my Lord did not die for that. And we can look at many examples, even in the Old Testament, of women being in leadership. There are prophetesses. There was one judge who was also, if we look at Deborah, it's really, I think, wise for us to actually read it and not just say, oh, yes, I've heard of Deborah, or oh, I read that 20 years ago. No, read the whole two chapters, chapter 4 and 5 of Judges, and you will be astounded as to who Deborah really was. She was a married woman. She was a judge over Israel. She was a prophetess, and she ended up even leading the army, the military. Not because she chose to in terms of the military. That was because the leader of the military would so held her counsel as valuable and vital to their victory that he said, if you don't go, I won't go. That was a man yielding to her. She did not demand that. She was the national leader of the holy nation of Israel, and God chose her. And interestingly enough, there is no record in the account in Judges 4 and 5 that any man quibbled over it. Now, we don't know. Perhaps they did. But there was no insurrection. God chose whom he chose, and he does it today. Do you know how he chooses? Not by the anatomy he made you in, by the way, it was his choice. Not by your anatomy. He chooses by your heart. Are you willing to yield to him or not? Whether you're male or whether you're female. Many people, whether they are male or female, choose themselves and say God called them. And do you know how you can discern that? You know them by their fruit. It's a pretty easy assessment. What do they produce? Do they produce division? And we're not talking division when we have to divide ourselves from, come out from among them, and he wants his bride cleansed and holy. We're not talking that division. We're talking division in the true bride, true body. Do they cause strife, envyings, as James said? Or do they bring understanding, peace between the true brethren, righteousness, love, edification? And that is the only way we can really determine it. We'll have our witness within. The Holy Spirit will witness with our spirit whether someone is of him or not, if we are listening and if we're willing to heed to his discernment. Now, again, the greater issue isn't women usurping men in the church. The greater issue is that mankind, both men and women, are usurping the authority of the Holy Spirit. Because he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are no longer under the law. That is the law of sin and death, which was initiated by Adam and Eve and their sin. We are no longer under the law of sin and death if we are in Christ. For it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, in Romans 8. What a glorious truth. But are we living it? Certainly half the body isn't. And I'm telling you, if half the body isn't living it, the whole body isn't living it. We're not separated from one another. The truth is that the reason there is so much division, discord, denominations, mudslinging in the body of Christ is because the brethren, including male and female, do not want to yield to the Holy Ghost. That's the bottom line. If we yield to him, we will walk righteously. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The real war is between flesh and flesh, male, female, flesh and flesh. That's what's actually happening. I want the power. I want the power. It isn't our power. We are earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power that's in us is of God, not us. And if we want to allow him to speak through us, that is the righteousness. That is the core, not whether we are male nor female. And we'll just to list, because I know I even had recently someone say, well, can you give me scriptures that, support women being in ministry. So we're just going to give examples quickly of a number of women that were in leadership in ministry. Now, we've already spoken of Deborah in Judges 4 to 5, judge, prophetess, and even led the military into victory. And even scolded Barak, who was the military leader, the captain of the military. And that was accepted because he had been reneging on what God had told him to do. But you can read it for yourself. Then in 2 Kings 22:14, there's Huldah the prophetess who is consulted by both the high priest and the king. They go to her seeking a word from God. And we'll just go there. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Haras, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. So she was obviously very learned. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. So they are consulting her for direction, for a word of God, to find out what is going to occur, what is God's will, what is he going to bring about. And even in that word college, it's about the second Jerusalem, of rebuilding. And she was not someone who was hidden away, was told off for speaking the word of God. There were many prophetesses, actually. There was another one that is recorded in Isaiah 8:3. She was a prophetess who bore a son. They don't speak about what she actually did, but she was in that position. There's another one in Nehemiah 6:14. Who was a prophetess. She doesn't seem to be one that was regarded well with other prophets. They were all a mix that were not doing righteously. So that could be male or female. We're not saying that if a woman is in any kind of leadership position or is in ministry, she's better than a man. This is not the other way around. This is what's in your heart. What's your motivation? Why are you doing this? I know when God called me into ministry, I balked. I did not willingly go. I went kicking and screaming. Partly because I knew this was going to be an issue, but greater than that, I didn't think that I could do such a thing for him. Who was I? And who are any of us in these earthen vessels? Well, we are earthen vessels, and his power indwells us, his very spirit, living God, lives in us. And he will use whom he uses. And if we don't yield to him, sisters in Christ, not sisterhood and feminism, no, that's garbage, it's filthy, it's a stealing. We're not stealing authority. If God calls us, it's been given to us by him. He chooses. But if the Holy Spirit is not listened to, is not yielded to, is not given over to, then man will choose. And man will choose those that he thinks are going to be popular, will draw money or tithes in, will speak from a particular platform or agenda that will keep traditions of man going, and we know what Jesus said about that. That the traditions of man make the word of God no effect. And that's what we have here, a tradition of man. Saying, women, you are never to speak. And yet in another chapter in Corinthians, Paul says that a woman must prophesy only with a head covering. And that's been bandied about, meaning that we have to have doilies on your head or it's your husband. Another controversy. But he was telling them to speak. So in one letter, he says speak. In another letter, he says don't speak. That's why we have to take the whole counsel of God to rightly divide the word, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Not just making up a doctrine from two or three scriptures so that we can be content and keep our place or position. The truth is, when a man, and we're going into the marriage arena, when a man loves a woman as Christ loves the church, reverence, respect will flow automatically. What's happened is that has been cut in half. There are two commands. Wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. One without the other is going to be more than wobbly. It is going to be completely dysfunctional. And that's what's happened. And now we even have women yelling at women, name calling. Jezebel, if you don't submit, no matter what. It says it, submit in everything, submit in everything. So if a man is doing unrighteously, are we to submit and be co-opted? When we face our Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, are we going to say, well, my husband made me do it? Each one faces him individually. We are accountable to our God and our King, whether we are male and female. And the Holy Spirit is telling me now, I know there is more. There is so much more in this. And a short teaching isn't going to provide it. But he is saying this. Look for yourself. You're the one is to study and be approved unto God. I have to do that myself to him. You, whether you're male or female, have to do that yourself to him. You seek, you dig, you find. Be like the Bereans. Look, don't just take someone's word for it. Take his word for it. And don't just pull out a couple of scriptures and say, okay, I found it. Go for the whole counsel of God. His word is worth digging into. It's better than spending several hours in front of the TV. Or playing a game on a computer, or being on Facebook. His word is worth your time. That's what he's saying. You want to know the truth? Look at my word and ask me to reveal to you the truth that is in it, so you can rightly divide it. Don't run around thinking you know when you don't know. That's how he feels. And then have the audacity to point fingers and tell everyone else off. Where is that in his commands? We are to teach with patience. We are to teach with meekness. We are to speak to our brethren who may have something wrong by love. That doesn't mean we don't correct. But we are not to correct with arrogance, church. For if we do, as it says in Galatians 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because as he says in 1 Corinthians 8, 2, and if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. We need to really be sober about that. If we think we know anything, we don't even know it. If we go to the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, seeking his counsel, his wisdom, we can know the truth. And if we know the truth, we will want to set people free. We will not want to oppress them. or tell them off or name call them. That is so beneath the body of Christ. It is unbelievable. We are not in kindergarten, church. We are in a battle for souls. And our own soul is on the line as well. The enemy wants to steal your faith more than anything else. It is your greatest possession. You guard it with your life. For without faith, we are none of his. That's what the real game is. The enemy is after your faith. If he can get it by strife in your marriage, he'll do it that way. If he can get it by death of a child, he'll do it that way. If he can get it by your health being attacked, he'll do it that way. If he can get it by confusion, he'll do it that way. If he can get it by lying to you through the word because you're not listening to the Holy Spirit and rightly dividing it, he'll do it that way. Be wise, church. Be wise. Be sober. Be vigilant. For we know he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. He can't just devour us. But if we're weak, he will. One of the greatest gifts that God has given us is his word, which we can feed upon, the bread of life, by his Spirit. We're not doing this by making the word into a hammer or a legalistic document with which to batter and bruise our brethren. It's a call to liberty. It's a document of liberty. Like the Declaration of Independence, the Declaration of Independence from the enemy. The Declaration of Independence from self. The Declaration of Independence from depending on ourselves. Let us stop warring among our members, as Paul admonished. For we are many members of one body, male and female. And for women, submission is not forced domination. It is voluntary. If our model is, and this is in marriage again, if our model is that we are to be subject to our husbands as the church is subject to Christ, how is the church subject to Christ? Is it by oppression? Is it by intimidation? Is it by false accusation? Is it by demeaning? Or is it by love and his sacrifice, giving himself to die that we may live? Let's be honest here. God asks for the impossible. For a man to do that is impossible on his own. It's absolutely impossible. But in Christ, I could do all things. By his Spirit, we are to be led. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. We are to be led by the living God. If we are, our fruit will be a glorious fragrance and harvest for him in ourselves and what we produce in those around us. We should not be afraid to fulfill the call of God, whether we are male or female. It's time to stop battering each other. The world will do it for us and the enemy. We do not need to do it to each other. If a man's identity in Christ is about putting a woman in her place, he has missed the cross. If a woman's identity in Christ is about proving that she's as good as a man and belittling him to prove it, she has missed the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let us not in any way be deceived by the enemy to be at war with each other instead of at war with the one who desires to steal our faith and have our souls. We are told by Jesus himself that he would send another comforter, the Holy Ghost, who would lead us into all truth and teach us concerning all things. But instead, we put ourselves under false teachers or under those in the brethren that have stronger personalities or can be intimidating, and we kowtow to the man rather than exalting God. He says in 1 John 2:27, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, you shall abide in him." The anointing which abides in you that we've received of him teaches us. When we get to that place where we yield to Christ through the Spirit, we will be taught perfectly. We will have the discernment we're seeking others to give us. We cannot get it from man. We will have a knowledge of the will of God with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, as he says in his word. That is what we need to ask for. Let us not fall prey to the schemes and devices of the enemy, who hates women even more than he hates men. And in deriding them and demeaning them and oppressing them, has kept the entire body dysfunctional and divided. Let us stop this and honor one another, submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. Lord, we ask you, bring your fear, your revelation of the fear of the Lord upon our hearts, for it is a fountain of life and keeps us from the snares of death. We ask you, Lord, to reveal to us, both sisters and brothers, the truth of your word about women and how you see them and how you desire them to participate in this glorious body of Christ. We ask for peace, righteous peace, between the true body, male and female, that they can be one in you. Teach us, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Amen.